You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And I've got a fabulous treat for you today. A lot of you are trying to make changes in your practice and it's difficult. I know it can be difficult, especially as you're trying to get better. And so today we're going to shed some light on the one thing that gives you the opportunity and power to change. And it is a very powerful tool with my good friend and amazing speaker, Dr. Chris Ramsey. So you are not going to want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. We are having a blast doing this, and I've got some of the world's top authorities in dentistry giving the best information for anybody, and today is no exception. You're going to love this, so make sure you're taking notes on this one. Now, before I introduce our guest and get into our topic, I just want to say a couple things about show notes here. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So, you know, as you see questions come up, either from other people or you have questions yourself, do me a favor, just type the question in there and I'm going to have Dr. Ramsey answer the question directly, either during the live broadcast or after the live broadcast, because we want to make sure you're getting the answers you need. Dentistry is an amazing profession, but if you get the right help, it's even more amazing how all of this works. The other thing too is we are giving away a free Apple iWatch and the Nike version every single week. We're going to be doing it later today for the best question asked every single week, because we love great questions, and two tickets to Activate. So you're not going to want to miss that. So check that out. Now, my guest today is going to be a regular guest all the time. He's one of the greatest speakers in the United States in any, I mean, whether it be dentistry or outside of dentistry, this guy can rock an audience. A fabulous dentist, great guy, super family. It just full of energy, Dr. Chris Ramsey. And I'm going to just tell my story before I get him to talk about Dr. Ramsey. I got a chance to meet him about 8-9 years ago at the Seattle Study Club. And I just saw this guy coming onto the scene, and he came on stronger and stronger and stronger. And now he is everywhere. And if you haven't seen, you got to see him. He's heavily involved with Seattle Study Club Network, as I am, which has just been an incredible blessing, and working intimately with DSD and Christian Coachman. We're going to have him talking about that. And as we watch these young dentists come onto the scene, he has been through the journey and done some incredible things. So we're going to give you some great frameworks on how you can create more opportunity in your practice. So if people haven't heard of Dr. Chris Ramsey, who is Dr. Chris Ramsey? We want to know your story, brother.
All right. Well, thanks for having me again. This is exciting, man. Number two.
Very few people get to come back a second time as fast as you. I know. Game on.
I know Sam Lowe did, and he's a great guy. So I'm honored to be back a second time. So thank you so much. It's really great to be here. So for the people who I have never met or had a chance to talk to, I'm Dr. Christopher Ramsey. I practice in Jupiter, Florida. I've got a great, great business partner by the name of Robert Ritter, who I think is probably watching right now. So I got to give him a good shout out. So we are restorative dentists only. We restoratively do dentistry Monday through Thursday. And then typically Robert Ritter and I jump flights on Thursday, go our separate ways to our do our lectures on Fridays, and then fly back home and try to enjoy the awesome weather of South Florida. So restorative dentists only. I always like to really, really emphasize that, Kirk, as you know, I'm always going restorative dentist, which means we do no endo, no perio, no ortho. I can barely stand working on my own kids. I love them to death. But if I don't want to work on mine, I don't want to work on yours. So I don't do any pedo. So the reality is we really love, in a sense, we have specialized just in restorative dentistry. And we're very fortunate because within the Seattle Study Clubs and beyond, I speak on the concepts what we're talking about today, body language, decision making, and the art of persuasion. And then I've got my business partner who speaks on digital dentistry and social media. So we cover a lot of different ground in these networks. So it's an exciting time to be in dentistry and just be alive here in South Florida.
Absolutely. And this feeds perfectly into our topic today because, you know, one of the things, if I'm a young dentist watching this, I'm like, well, Dr. Ramsey, that's cool for you that you do restorative dentistry only, but man, I got to be the super dentist. Can you just speak to that for a second? Because it's not good, bad, or indifferent. It's we are given one thing that gives us power and opportunity. What is it?
Yeah. Biggest thing I've found throughout my entire life, you want the power and opportunity to make a change. It comes down to one concept. And for me, that is choice. And right. We're going to talk about choice today because choice is mind-numbing. I could speak for hours just on the concept of choice. In fact, the program that I do, it's actually the second module called Addressing Choice. Mm-hmm. I think if we understood what went into our choices, what helps us make choices, and why we make the choices we make, I think it would make it be a lot clearer on how we get through our day. The first episode I was on with you, you know, I had made a point to say there's a lot of things we don't do, but a lot of the people listening to us, younger practitioners, they've got to kind of do everything. And if you're looking, watching this right now or listening to us right now, I totally get that. I just met a young guy, great periodontist out of Aurora. And he was sharing with me that he just came out of NYU, did perio at University of Washington. He's $500,000 in debt, you know, so he's got $3,500 a month to pay in student loan payments for the next 15 years. Now, the guy's a rock star, but that's a lot of money. And right. So I get that when a regular general dentist goes, look, I got to do everything. I totally get that. But I also believe doing everything, trying to get through the day, doing everything, as I said in the first, one of the second episodes, the episode number two, I think with you, but my first time on was I said, that is a fast way to burnout. Yeah, that's a fast way to not enjoy this career as Rob and I have, you know, for us now, me 17 years in, him now 22 years in. We enjoy what we do because we've made a lot of choices. And for us, one of those simple choices was practicing the way we want and controlling it, not having it control us. So that's one of my keys. But again, I get it. You're listening to this and you're like, dude, I have to do every root canal, every partial, every denture, and I got to do everything. But ultimately, I don't think you do. We have built a practice that's 4 days a week. We've got four hygienists going 4 days a week, only doing restorative dentistry. And that has nothing to do with my address or where I'm going. In a couple months, in fact, Memorial Day is right around the corner. Anybody that lives in Florida knows this. We are about to lose almost half of our practice. Mm-hmm. So that means half of my practice right after Memorial Day will go back up to the Northeast because the majority of my practice is New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Philadelphia, you know, that type of Northeast. So we lose about 43 to 45% of our practice, but right. I can still keep four hygienists, 4 days a week busy, and Rob and I can still make it through the summer because we've chosen to do the things that we love and build a practice around that. So hopefully when someone hears that, we're going to be talking a lot about choice today, and hopefully they'll be able to make better choices. You know, I recently just told somebody, you want to have a happier life on Monday? Remember, I think it was during your episode. Just cut out one thing that's killing. Right. Cut out the one thing you hate.
Amen.
That's amazing. How many dentists do you talk to come in and they go, oh man, I got to do another denture. If you hate removable, stop doing removable.
Right.
And then when you come in on a Monday, you're going to be like, this is awesome. I got no more removable, right?
Yeah.
Your choices don't have to be huge. It's those little choices that you make that make a huge difference.
Yeah. And Nito Cobain said this, you know, we're the product of our choices. I say this to my kids all the time, you know, make good choices because it dictates a lot of what happens in your life. And I have to say this too, because I do get this feedback as you do. People say, well, I bought a practice, you know, the dentist that I bought the practice from didn't do that. So I kind of have to do it this way. I think the important thing to understand is this is the United States of America. You could choose to do something. And if it doesn't work, you know, you can switch it back. Absolutely.
Right. Well, you know, here's an interesting thing. You know, I always like to compare us. I think it's fair to compare us. When we have to make a decision to do something in our business, I often say, Would a large company make this same statement? So when they say, well, I bought a practice and that's the way they've been doing it. When Apple acquires another smaller company, they don't say, well, just keep doing it that way. No, they acquire it. And then they say, we're going to change it and make it fit a model that we know is better, right? So when they acquire a small company, when they acquired Beats headphones, they didn't say, eh, let's leave it all the same. They came out with new designs, new concepts, new technology, new everything so that they can move forward. So acquiring a practice doesn't mean you are now obligated, like a communist country, to have to stick to this for the rest of your life. It's crazy. You know, every time I ask dentists a question, I say, how would that question be answered if it was somewhere? I'll give you an example. We were talking about letting patients, new patients into practice. And that discussion that you had with Sam Lowe about acquiring data and getting information and the patient saying, oh, I don't want to take a blood pressure. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And then I used to ask dentists all the time. I just asked it in Denver. How well would you have to know somebody before you let them through your front door of your house? Mm-hmm. Right? How well? You wouldn't just take a stranger, say, can I ask you a couple questions and have someone go, no, say, all right, that's good enough. Come on in, play with my kids. Hey, my wife's up in the shower. Why don't you go say hello? It's not going to happen. So as much as you say, I want to know as much as I can about you before I'm going to allow you to come in and interact with my family, that same mentality you have to say, how much do I have to know about a patient before I'm going to come in and let them interact with my dental family, which, by the way, is a very important family. If you've built a great team, holding on to that team and valuing that team is extremely important. We have amassed what we believe is the best team we've ever had right now at this moment, Rob and I. And I have to tell you, it's amazing how protective we are of them. When Rob and I are out traveling, I don't want a practice full of crazy people bothering them. So we really say, we don't want to treat every single person that walks through the door. We want to treat those people who value what Rob and I have to offer in our community. And doing that, it's a two-way door. They pick us, but we also pick them. And so, again, goes to choice. They choose us, but we also get a chance to choose them.
Yeah. And what you do is that, like you talked about the compounding effect, you start choosing a patient base like that and teams like that. Your team members find other team members that come into the fold, and then the patients go out and find other patients. I mean, at the end of a career, you go, this is great. I've worked with my friends, and it has a lot to do with your happiness. Right. And you talked about, like, you're so brilliant with the conscious and the subconscious, because you help me understand we can't consciously make decisions every day. I mean, that's part of it, but subconscious really takes over, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing. You know what I speak on. So I love it. And a lot of people listening may not know this, but what I speak on is a lot about why we do what we do, how we make decisions. And of course, people see me do body language and everything. That's all part of it. So for the people listening or driving or listening to this at a later date, we've all seen that famous picture of the iceberg. And it's that little piece that starts at the top. And then when they show below the water, it's humongous. Right. That is basically, think of that as your entire brain. So that part sticking up is your conscious part. The part that everyone sees, the part that, you know, that I see right now on this screen, I see you. But that's consciously, we're only using about 5 to 10% to get through the day. All the other parts under the water are what they call subconscious and unconscious. Together, those two things are sometimes called adaptive unconscious, but basically the whole subconscious, huge portions of it that are taking data all day long and throwing things forward so that your conscious brain can make a decision. If you actually had to consciously think of every single decision you had to make in a day, you literally could not get through the day.
Right.
You know, so part of that, what happens is you've got to think of your brain as like a hard drive, and that hard drive has an unlimited amount of information. So it's unlimited storage from the moment you come out of the womb. Unlimited storage. So you're packing all these things in, but like your hard drive at home, you actually don't know where anything's at. You can't retrieve it and you don't know where to get to it. It's just there. And like a hard drive on your computer, it takes little bits of information and throws it forward so that your conscious brain can move throughout the day. And so it's actually in a book called Blink from Malcolm Gladwell, it's actually called thin slicing, what allows us to make snap judgments, move forward. Let me give you an example. We've all been there, right? I know there's some friends of mine, team members and things that are female listening to this right now. And they've all been at the club. You know, they're dancing at the club and they come walking up to the bar and some guy shakes their hand and goes, hey, how you doing? And within seconds, you're like, whoa, this dude's a creep, right? Yeah. How do you know that inside of a couple seconds? If you had to logically think, okay, what's this guy's hair color? What's this there? What's going on? Your brain. Quickly, your subconscious brain throws all kinds of things forward. And this is what allows you to go, something ain't right here. Something ain't right. So we have got to realize our conscious and subconscious brain is working so hard. And by the way, you can't turn it off. to even working at night. It's pushing things forward in order for us to get through the day. If I step out into the street right now and hear honk like that, I jump back really quickly. I don't have to have my brain go, okay, hold on a minute. That's a honk, belongs to a car. I might get hit and then I could die. We don't have time to think about that. So our brain kicks in subconsciously and said, hey, jump back real quickly. And that's right. Kind of how it works. And a lot of that goes into the choices that we make every day. We don't realize how much of our subconscious, unconscious brain is pushing things forward in order for us just to make choices every single day, both professionally and personally.
Right. I mean, we could go into a long discussion about what illnesses plague dentistry the most. Is it the physical or the mental? You have to protect this space up here. And I would love to know more about unlimited storage, because I don't know if that's working for me. But also, too, you've got so many open files. And I think all of us are looking for a competitive advantage in the future to be able to use this brain power. Because, you know, when you've been in this profession for 10 years, 15 years, how well this operates dictates all of this. And so give us a little insight. Let's say I feel like I'm on autopilot and I'm not using my conscious brain enough and I want it to be a little bit healthier. Where would I start? Like, where would I start as a young dentist?
I think as a young dentist, I want to get past one of the illusions first. I think for a young dentist, one of the illusions here is the fact that you're young. So you come out and physically you can grind it out. So you think, I got this. I got this. I could do this for 20 years. Well, you can look at this and, you know, this is not giving up any secrets. Everybody knows this. You know, my partner's had a little surgery here, neck issues. I've had two back surgeries. This is a physically demanding profession. And so you can't go through the illusion, first of all, of thinking, oh, well, I'm young. This is no problem. I can grind it out 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I can get through this, because it does take a physical toll. The mental toll is such that you've got to be able to get, I think one of the things that's surprising enough is we forget a couple of basic things. Is one, we think we're at it alone all the time. We're in our little world. We think we're by ourselves. We don't realize a lot of dentists are suffering through the same problems we are. So we don't take the time to reach out to our peers and share and say, hey, I'm having this problem. We all want to talk about our successes. Yet some of the best people I know that have hired people say, don't tell me about your successes. Tell me when things went wrong. What did you do? Paul English is a perfect example. He's the guy who founded Kayak. And before he sold Kayak, he had a thing called energy amplifiers and GSD score, which meant get stuff done. He would hire based on your ability to get stuff done. So I don't think dentists talk to each other enough, but you got to get into that headspace. I think you're going to mentally melt down if you are doing things that you actually don't enjoy right from the beginning. You got to find that space. This profession can be awesome, but at the end of it, you're going to lose your mind if you constantly are doing things only for money. Listen, the money comes. Do things right, and the money seems to come. Your money is motivated first, then it's a problem. I ask this question all the time to dentists. And usually when I ask, it's usually because I do mostly team programs. So when I ask this, I watch everybody's face and they're like, oh, they start kind of like, don't look at me. I ask the question, are you in the dental business serving people? Or are you in the people business providing dentistry? It's two different things. Starbucks will tell you, we're in the people business providing coffee. Not in the coffee business serving people. You know who's in the coffee business serving people? Dunkin' Donuts, these places where you run in, grab some coffee, and you run out. But all of us are willing to stand in line just a little bit longer and overpay for a Starbucks coffee. Why? Because there's something that's going into that decision, that choice that we're making that makes us feel good about that choice to say, I wouldn't go anywhere else but here because of everything else. It's not just about the coffee. It's about everything else that's going with the coffee.
Yeah. And anyone who's an expert on branding knows that that is such a powerful force in the universe. That's why you pick a Morton Salt over the generic brand. That's why you pick your favorite stuff and it continues on. Now, I want to go back to your original example because I get this pushback a lot. The young dentist who's got all that debt trying to be a super dentist, it isn't about choosing to have a Chris Ramsey and Ritter practice where you're doing restorative and you just do it overnight. Go back to the little thing. Just slowly choose the stuff that you hate and stop doing it. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I get right now, there's somebody listening to me right now. They're driving in their car. They're in, I don't know, some city, Main Street, wherever, America. And they're like, yeah, but I do everything great. Well, that's the great thing about being young. I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it ain't as great as you think it's great. Because as soon as you start taking the time, listen, nothing changed our lives, me and Rob Ritter, than going and training with John Coyce. Now, I'm not plugging Coyce because there's somebody listening to me right now and say, well, I can say the same thing about Frank Spear. You're 100% right. Or I can say the same thing about Dawson or Panky. But go somewhere. Because I'll tell you what comes with time. your ability to understand, wow, I don't think I was doing that as good as I thought I was doing it. And then when you see everyone else around, you're like, oh my goodness, I definitely was not doing that as well as I, but there's a lot of people who say, well, I just want to do it well enough. And I go, okay, well, how do you define well enough? I go, there's not a single person here that wants to get the, at the end of their career and go, whoo, man, that was mediocre. Thank goodness for that. 20 years of mediocre. Thank God. I really never wanted more than just to be really kind of, you know, mediocre.
Right.
You know, not a single company. You know, what's amazing to me is that when Steve Jobs came out with the iPhone, he came out, everyone says, oh, he decided to make a phone. He didn't. He actually came out and said, I'm going to change the telecommunications business. This is why AT&T was the first ones to have the iPhone, because all the other companies, when Steve Jobs went to him and says, here's what's going to happen. We're going to make this phone. Everyone's going to want it. And here's what's going to happen. Then what happened? All these other companies are like, we're not changing our policies. And then quickly AT&T said, yeah, whatever you want. Now everyone carries the iPhone. And Steve Jobs changed the communications industry.
And so, the music business.
But he came in and didn't say, hey, I want to make another phone. If you and I were doing this podcast 10 years ago, right now people would be listening to us. One guy would be listening on his Palm, other on his Razor, the other one on
Samsung. I don't even know what those are. Or BlackBerry.
Samsung, but I think they want to catch on fire, you know. So the reality is, not to get too far on a tangent, but the reality is you got to think of who wants to not attack this profession and be awesome?
Right.
You know, I mean, seriously, don't you want to get out of bed every day and go, you know what? I'm going in to be number one in my area, to be the best at what I do in my area. And nothing's going to stop me from doing that. Now, the problem is you can do that, but how does one define that? If you are a person listening to this right now, you're driving along and you just made the second payment on your new Mercedes and you're like, I'm 2 years out of school. I got this Mac Daddy ride. Things are going good. That's great. But I'm telling you, I promise you, in 10 years, the killer Mercedes and the big home and all the stuff like that, it ain't going to matter as much when you're realizing I got to go to a job that I hate. You know, so I'll take a little bit less to get up every day and go, you know what? I love what I do. So right now you think I'm great at everything. That's good. I would still actually just please pick something you know you can't stand. I don't like doing endo on molars. Great. Right. Stop doing it. Why are you doing this if it's I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, I can speak firsthand. I'm a recovering overfunctioner. I think the first part in any recovery process is to say, I suck at something. And I suck at a lot of things, but I'm really good at a few things. And I like the energy question. And I don't know who said this years ago, but somebody said, I don't know if it's Spears, somebody said, put a 3x5 card in your pocket and just write down everything you do and notice the things that you hate and just go, I hate this. And then just make a conscious choice over time to stop doing it, because you know you're going to fill it with other stuff. Because I don't know that anyone here is sitting around with a whole bunch of free time. Like, gosh, I just have a lot of free time in my practice and in my life. So using the choice part is critically important. Now, the other thing you helped me understand too is the whole free will thing. Can you talk about that? The choice and the free will thing.
All right. I'm glancing over because I know we got a lot of people watching. So I don't want this gets exciting now. So if you're
about to click off, go do something else. We can go for 2 hours. It doesn't matter, man.
There's a bunch of people watching right now. So I'm looking over. I'm like, all right, for all you watching, don't click off. I see Tony Prestipino. I see Raul Scathy. what was that show? And I see Robert and I see all you folks. So I see the crew from my office. So, listen, free will, man. It's a huge, huge thing for me. I think it's important for people to understand. You know, the concept of free will is basically, it's our purest expression. Choice is the purest expression of free will. This is why I love the concept of choice. It is truly the purest expression of free will. And free will is extremely important. It's the basis of most of our belief systems, whatever that may be. It's that freedom that says I can choose whatever I want, what I believe is best for me, what's best for my family. So
that's what the country was built on.
Yeah, on choice, on your ability to have free will to do and say whatever you want, as long as it's not going to cause any physical harm to me or or my loved ones, right? And so what are the two things within choice? What's those two things within free will people want? They want opportunity and they want power. If you give a human opportunity and power, well, they can fly to the moon, right? And so we look at all this, we have to understand choice is extremely important. Now, what's hard is people think, Well, people are going to make a choice. How are they going to make a choice? And sometimes it's the assumption that they truly understand all their preferences and how to weigh them against each other. And sometimes that's hard. You've got 15 minutes to tell someone what an implant is. I can't take 17 years of knowledge inside and put it all in 15 minutes. I almost can't do that. So it allows a human to say, you know what? And how they make those choices is important to understand. I like the person here. I realize I'm not buying a commodity. I trust this person. And a lot of that is, again, going on in the subconscious. So much is happening before they even get to the chair, allowing them to make a choice before they even say yes to what they know. If somebody comes in, they know their tooth is broken. Most people in the US by now know what a dental implant is at a basic level, like the average consumer. Oh, an implant. They've seen them on TV or whatever. But now they have to decide, are they going to allow you to do it? Is that something that they want to get done? Well, why would I do that instead of a bridge? And yes, it will come down to insurance. And yes, it will come down to money. But we see it all the time. We have people that deal with both of those issues, and we still get people to make the right choice. I'm going to share some numbers with you. And why I like sharing these numbers, they're not bragging numbers, but Rob and I have some amazing numbers from 2016, and they don't equate to anything monetarily. So you'll quickly see, since I don't do any of this work, it actually means we sent people out and delayed treatment because we knew it was the right thing to do. In 2016, our closure rate for implant dentistry was 98%. That means everybody we send out, 98% of them got the implant. What's more amazing, you know what our closure rate was for orthodontics? What? 96%. Wow. We tracked it all. That means every 25 people we sent out for a consult, only one said no. 96% closure rate in orthodontics. It was unbelievable. That's a lot of people making a lot of choices that come far beyond. And you hear dentists all the time, oh, my patients don't want to do orthodontics. Well, I don't think it's them. It might be you. So we've got to look at this. You know, it works. It's understanding people's choice. And I can go on and on, and I hope we have time to do so. I want to cover some things with you, what it means to make these choices and make sure we understand how humans make choices and why they do what they do.
Yeah, and I want to pause on one thing because this is such a powerful discussion, because so many dentists want to move away from the insurance environment. And while you're choosing to do this in your own practice, you're also asking patients to choose above and beyond, that they're not robots dictated. So this really is a life study. It's a body of work that you can't ignore. I mean, it's really where all the fruits of your labor are at, is not only making your own choices, but helping people make their own choices also.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I mean, listen, people, by the way, let me be clear, because I made this point in Denver just the other day. Choice does not mean giving three cards for the orthodontist and handing them to your patient. That is not choice.
No.
That's a disaster. That is making those three orthodontists a commodity. That's right. Not choice. Choice is saying, I realize, Mrs. Jones, you have a choice right now between going to somebody on your list, which I know that you would like me to help you choose, or going to this person who's within the network of people I refer to. And let me tell you why I refer there, not because we hang out, not because of my same alma mater. We have that problem here with a lot of people refer just because they went to the same dental school. That makes no sense to me. I'm referring you because I believe it's the best person in town for your needs specifically. And if you want to go somewhere else, you can, but anything less than this, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. So I want to make the best choice for you. If you don't want to make the best choice for yourself, you might need another doctor, you know, so, but I want to make sure they understand choice is not, oh, here's three orthodontists, pick one, because then what do? They go, okay, well, which one's the cheapest? And that's not making a choice.
Right.
Making a choice has to be, you know, an educated reason why we're doing this. And again, let's be clear, as we move forward, I want to make sure everyone understands one basic concept. People's choices are rarely ever logical. They are 100% emotional.
Okay.
And I talk
a lot.
Yeah. Well, if you look at, there's a famous book that Dale Carnegie wrote, and he had a great quote in there. And one of the things he had said early on was, when dealing with people, first of all, dealing with people is probably the hardest thing you're ever going to do, especially if you're in business. So Dale Carnegie's book, he mentioned that. But one of the things he also said was, you're not dealing with people of logic, you're dealing with people based on emotion. His exact quote was, we are not dealing with creatures of logic, we are dealing with creatures of emotion. If you can appeal to someone emotionally, you can almost get them to do almost anything you want. And I'm huge on that. I will talk for an hour on that in my lecture. And so does Christian Coachman with DSD. A lot of people are coming around understanding the emotional component is probably the biggest thing. If you're asking people to make a decision logically, their decisions actually will not make a lot of sense. They make no sense sometimes if done 100% based on logic. So a lot of it has to be emotionally driven. When you go to buy a car, why do they say, hey, would you like to test drive this? Because you get into it, you put your radio on, you adjust the seat, and now you start to feel what that feels like. That's not logic. That's 100% emotion. People are looking at you, you're looking at this, you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. You get back, you're willing to overpay for it, just like you overpay for your Starbucks coffee.
Right? That's your home. Nowadays, a home is not an investment. It's a consumption decision. So it's all, you know, it's all logic. Now, are we throwing out the cliche, you think, nowadays that people buy emotionally and justify logically? I mean, is there any logic anymore?
Yeah. Okay. So that statement is love. You know where it comes to? The person who goes out and says, I would never buy an impractical car. And then they go out and they go, yeah, but you just came home with an S-Class Mercedes. Well, yes. It's because I found after it was the safest car on the road. No, you bought it because it's a Mac Daddy pimped out Mercedes and it is a wicked S-Class and you wanted it. And then logically in your brain, you go, well, because it's the safest car. If that car was the most unsafest, but I mean, listen, let me be honest with you. You look at things like Range Rover. Everybody wants a Range Rover truck. There's millions here. Can I be honest with you though? If you know anybody with a Range Rover, those things break down all the time. Those things are, in my opinion, I don't get it. I don't get a Range. I get Range Rover, but I don't really get it. I hope you're never sponsored by Range Rover. Today, we're being sponsored by Perrier. But you know, the reality is I don't get Range Rover, but people, because of the status symbol of Range Rover, they buy it. They logically make all, and then when they're in the shop every other month with electrical problems and this and that, they can make logical sense out of that, some capacity. So we buy an emotion. If we both bought based on logic, we'd all drive very efficient cars that got the best gas mileage. And we would never look all of our cars in our homes. It's all vanity and pride and emotion. It's not a bad thing. It's just a reality.
Right. So you're telling me I got to get a Prius now. So no, it's all good.
I do it as long as you understand why you do it. I think the biggest thing, especially in dentistry, I think the biggest thing is, you got to be true to what you know you are. Like, don't try to facade your way through it. The reality is, listen, I have a truck. I overpay for it because I love my SUV. You know, I could drive something more practical, but I'm being honest. I emotionally attached to the truck because it's a big truck and I like it and I'm willing to pay for it. So, and that's okay. I'm just being honest.
Absolutely. Now, you actually have a methodology. There's four ways you can conquer choice. There's four.
Yes.
Take us through the methodology.
Yeah, I can't take credit of my own. You know, through all the years of going through everything. You see some of these in TED Talks, you see them, Sheena Yeager, I believe is her last name. She's done a lot of concept and choice, but there's four ways basically to manage your choices, both personally and professionally. So let me run you through those because it'll make your life a lot easier. So first and foremost is they'll talk about cutting your options, right? Which in a sense will improve your choosing experience. I'll tell you a quick story. Head and Shoulders is made by Procter & Gamble. When Head and Shoulders took 26 options of shampoo and reduced them down to 15 at all the stores, their sales went up 10%. And for Procter & Gamble, that's millions of dollars. So they reduced the amount. They cut the amount of things that people, because too many choices is overwhelming. We'll circle back to that in a little bit. But too many choices, it messes you up. It doesn't offer opportunity. It creates constraints. So having too many choices, you ever been to the Cheesecake Factory?
Yes, too much.
Right. So the Cheesecake Factory, really good food, consistently good. But the lady comes by and goes, excuse me, are you ready to order? No, ma'am. I'm 50 pages into salads, 100 pages into pasta. And how many different cheesecakes do you have? She goes, 53. I'm like, I'm going to stab you in the eye with this fork. You know, So the reality is you got to cut down on the amount of things you want to improve the experience. You got to cut down on the amount of things you're offering. And we'll circle back to that in a second and we can cover that. The second thing is what's called concretize, meaning make it real. There's got to be consequences associated with each of your choices. Too many times we do this. Mrs. Jones, you're going to lose that tooth on the lower left. So your options are, you know, that I offer. In the state of Florida, I've got to tell you everything. But in this office, you can do an implant or a bridge. And we just say that. So instantly, as soon as we kind of throw that out, you have an implant or a bridge. She now needs to understand both. You go over both. But instantly in her brain, she's like, well, that sounds like a 50-50 option to me. Right. And then you're trying to go through the pros and cons. And so there has to be consequences associated. Two options are not equal. This is the same reason I said, don't hand out three cards for an orthodontist. That's not fair. They're not equal. They're not equal practitioners. This is not about doing it, because if you don't have consequences associated with each of your choice, what happens? It becomes the third thing, which is they go to the thing that's the cheapest, which is the third category, which is you've got a way to be able to categorize these things. What is going to allow us to tell these things apart? What's going to allow us to tell me the difference? There's really truly a difference between having an implant and having a bridge. There are totally big differences, and the categories, they need to be able to say something to the chooser. They have to be able to be so different that they speak volumes to the chooser. So let's be honest, in this day and age, it's 2017, standard of care for a missing tooth, I don't care how you justify it, it's an implant, right? Mm-hmm. The day and age of tying teeth together, no good, no good. So unless every now and again, yes, you will have these circumstances in the aesthetic zone where there's, you know, where they say, okay, a bridge may need to be done here. But the reality is in the everyday world where most of us work in the posterior part of the mouth, I don't want to tie teeth together anymore.
Right.
So for me, I got to be able to express that in a way that goes beyond, I get that you want to use your insurance. I get that. I get that you want to, I get that. But let's talk about you as an entire system. You got to understand there's a difference. So what do we got? We've got cut, concretize, categorize. And then the last one is condition. And the condition is basically decrease the complexity, which basically means reduce the fatigue of your brain. You heard me. I think I may have said this in the first one I ever did. Your brain doesn't really want to work hard. People need to understand about how the brain works. Your brain does anything it can to produce the least amount of energy possible. So your brain doesn't want to be fatigued. So how we explain things to people, we have to go from easy to complex. There's a known study. They use the example of customizing a car. When you go to buy a car, they can get you to make a lot of choices if you start with the smallest choices first. For instance, they would not go, what color do you want? We offer 50 colors. You'd be like, oh my goodness, I have no idea, right? Mm-hmm. That's too many choices too quick. But initially, when you buy a car, what do? They go, what size motor? We have three motor sizes. Okay, I'll take, you want the V6. Okay, let's go. And then they creep up, and next thing you know, you've made all these decisions. So you have to go from easy too complex. I'm going to tell you how. There was a study done many, many years ago, and it was a study done with these women. It was done in actually 1977. It was a study based on pantyhose. They brought a bunch of women in. They had them move room to room, and they wanted them to test all these different characteristics of all these different pantyhose, and at the end, fill out a questionnaire. And they wanted them to sit, feel, tear strength, all these different things. And the women move room to room, checking out all these different pantyhose. And at the end, they filled out a questionnaire. And they said, which ones do you like the best? 40% liked the last one and 31% liked the third one. So a combined 71% liked the third and fourth ones. But here's the funny thing. In the study, they were all the same pantyhose.
Wow.
So here's the funny. So people were like, well, how's that possible? Because what happened? Everybody remembers the last thing they heard. That's what we learned from this study. Why did 40% of the people love the last one? It's the last thing they heard. It's the last thing. So what do we do in our office? I'm offering you a couple different options of choices of treatment. I always make sure that the last one is the best one. In dental school, it's the opposite. In dental school, they said, you always offer the best thing first. At Panky, they used to tell me, offer the best thing first. It's the best or the best. Well, if they have options, I tell them something, and the last one is the implant. Why? Because when you go home to think about it, we already know how the brain works. That's the one you're going to remember the most.
Right.
Right. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, because I didn't have a lot of money growing up and going to college. So I worked in Applebee's. I was a three-time employee of the month. But the one cool thing was, you know, you talk about this all the time, is, you know, a great waiter embodies all of these. You know, a really great restaurant, somebody will come in and ask you questions. First time here? Okay. Now there's a lot of choices. But here, you know, blah, 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 blah. You could do this. You could do this. But what you want is you want this. And almost every time you're like, home run. Let's do it.
Right. The problem with humans is this. We are never really satisfied with when we're making a choice. People need to know this. It's rarely about what we're going to gain. It's always about what we're going to lose. Right. As humans, that's how we are actually programmed to think. It's not about what we gain. It's about what we lose. So what happens is when we're making these decisions, we've seen every dentist listening to this right now. We've all had this happen. Lady comes walking in with a tooth wobbling in the wind. I mean, this thing is flapping in the wind. And she goes, can I save it? And you're like, yeah, you can, on a necklace. You can see it, absolutely, right? And then what happens is she-
You don't say that, do you?
I've actually, yeah, that's my tagline. I go, absolutely, ma'am, you can save that on a necklace. Right through it. Because okay. What happens is They can't imagine taking that piece of crap tooth out, putting an implant, and having a tooth there as solid as it was when they were 18 years old. They can't imagine that. All they're thinking about is, I don't want to lose this tooth. So we have a tendency not to think about what we're going to gain. We think about what we're going to lose. Perfect example, this conditioning, reducing fatigue, this goes back to the Monty Hall problem. Remember, Let's Make a Deal?
Yes.
People would win, but what's behind? You've just won the summer vacation and the Wave Runner behind door number two, or you can have door number three.
Right. Which
the new car is still out there, and humans can't help themselves. They're like, and they go, okay, I'll take door number three. And then they lift it up and it's like, it's a ghost, you know, and you lose.
Right.
We can't help ourselves. So what Rom and I have actually found, we've actually watched each other offer people options, and people are hilarious. You can literally say the first thing you could say, well, Mr. Jones, you're going to lose that tooth. The first option is, I'm going to give you $1 million. They don't even hear you. They're like, what's the next option? Like, they don't even hear you. Like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, stop. I'll just take that.
Yeah.
So hilarious. There was a famous Seinfeld where they said, we're going to offer him all the coffee he can drink and $50,000. Remember that famous Seinfeld? And they got to Kramer and they go, we're going to offer you all the coffee you can drink. He goes, I'll take it. and he missed $1,000. So what do we know here? Save the best for last. You want to get through this? Tell them about the implant last, because at the end, when they go, are there any other options? Well, outside of pixie dust, I'm going to spray over you. No, that would be it, ma'am. That's right. The last option. And that's what she's going to remember. You make it first, she's overwhelmed by all the other stuff you told her. Even if you said, I don't suggest it, I wouldn't do it, don't do the partial, she's going home thinking of that. The last thing I want you to hear is the best thing, which is the implant.
Wow, that is good.
Important enough.
Well, and when you look at the four ways to conquer choice, once you start using all these, first of all, this is a lot to consider. So how do I use these? And then how do I get my team to use these?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, you've got to get with your team and say, okay, as an office, for instance, in the state of Florida, if you're going to lose a tooth in the state of Florida, I've got to tell you everything. I've got to tell you what's great about dentistry is, Mrs. Jones, you can do nothing. That's actually a viable option. You can do nothing. That is your choice as a chooser. You can do nothing. You can take that tooth out and have a space. You can do a partial, you can do an implant, or you can do a bridge, right? So, and obviously, what was the mistake I just made there? I should always have the implant last.
Right.
So when I do this, when I go over all these five options, I shall say, now, Mrs. Jones, understand, I don't offer all of those things. So let's talk about the things that I do offer. I offer your ability to do nothing. You can do that. I'll give you some antibiotics. You can leave. I'll sleep great tonight. You may have a toothache tomorrow. Or you can do an implant, or you can do a bridge. Now, the sequence should be, bridge and implant if you're doing it right. But we're so used to going, let me tell you the best thing first. So you really need to make sure that you, within the confines of the law of the state that you're in, that you say, okay, I've got to tell you everything. By law, we always have to tell the patients everything. Right. But then you really get down to, let me tell you what I offer, and let me tell you from the worst to the best, from the easiest to what I believe is the best option. And that's the way that we do it. So I basically come down to and you know I'm a big fan of threes. I come down to three options. I go, when you're losing that tooth, you've got three options. Do nothing, do a bridge, or do an implant. And that's basically how we go in. That's exactly how I stage it. So obviously, people don't want to do nothing. They know that's an option, but now we're really down to two. We've gone from three to two, and now we tell them about bridge, and we tell them about implant. And of course, the implant's the last thing I tell them, because that's the one I want them to remember. So it's actually a very easy thing to get into if you understand the sequence and the importance of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. do you track it at all? I'm sure you guys track a lot of this, which people end up choosing.
Yeah, I tracked it. As I was telling you, our closure rate for implant and orthodontics is, I believe, astronomical. It's fantastic. So we're really proud of our ability to do that. There's also this thing to understand. People will also live. When I walk out of that room, I rely a lot on my auxiliary team to be part of this. You know, your team has to be right on board with what they know. There's a saying that says, you know, when you sit down with somebody for a consult, you used to sit down with them knee to knee, eye to eye, and heart to heart. I've always liked that expression. And I can tell somebody, when I leave, though, a lot of people will often say to my assistant, Victoria, or Nan, or one of the girls at the office, they'll say, you know, well, he's really passionate about that, or he really wants me to do that. And then Victoria or Nan, one of my assistants, will say, you know why they want you to do that? Because this is the same treatment he did on his mom. This is the same treatment he did on me. And then Victoria may say, look, I've had two implants done. Look. And the patient go, which one? She goes, this one here. She goes, I can't tell. And she goes, exactly. That's why he wants to do this. See, what's happening there? We're taking the logic out of it. Now it's becoming an emotional decision. I'm saying to Mrs. Jones, this has nothing to do with your insurance. This has nothing to do with your even ability to pay. I just want you to sit here and make a choice and understand that choice. And I want her to make it emotionally based. How do I tap into her emotion? I'm saying this is the same thing I have already done to my mom and my other loved ones. I want the same treatment for you. And that's an emotional based response, not of, well, let me see which one your insurance covers more. You know, I get that. You can always get to that. But the first thing they should hear is to understand, I want to make an emotional connection with you is I'm doing this because this is the same treatment I do to my loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would not do a bridge on my mother. I would not do it.
Right.
Why would I? And she can get it for free.
Right.
Why would I do that? I know it's not better care. I know she's not going to have an easy time flossing around it. I know that if she's a little bit more prone to decay than somebody else, that bridge is going to be problematic. So the reality is we can have all kinds of discussions, but I believe you follow these four things: cut, concretize, categorize, condition. If you understand those things and re-listen to this podcast, it'll make sense. Even go back to the cut. You got to cut down on the amount of things you're offering. You can't offer somebody five things and ask them to make an educated decision. They don't know anything about dentistry. You know what they end up doing? A lot of people end up doing nothing.
Right.
I see that in practices. You give me too much overload. It's called cognitive backlog. Too much information. Guaranteed, I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah. And there was a great book called The Paradox of Choice. I'm sure you've read it.
Or yes.
That's the same author. They found in extensive studies, giving people too many choices, they don't choose anything. And it's no different than going to a restaurant. Went to a great breakfast place on Sunday and just the menu was tremendous. I just said to the waiter, I go, I can't decide which one. He's like, that one. I was like, awesome.
Right. I got a rule for you on that.
Please.
Because people don't know me. You said introduce yourself earlier. So what people should know about me is I had 12 years of hospitality industry. 7 years was fine dining. And I worked for Disney. So needless to say, I'm a customer service fanatic when it comes to anything service related. I love that industry. I love customer service. I love it. So I always tell people when I go to new restaurants and I travel as you like you almost every week, when I go someplace, first of all, I never order the specials. I always walk in and I go, what are you guys known for? What are you guys known for? And that every waiter will go, oh man, this right here. And I go, that's what I'll have.
Right.
Why is that? It's the best way to test a place out. It's the best way. Because if you take the, tell me what's the best thing, what have you guys been doing for the last 15 years? Great. Oh, this item, great. Because if that comes out and that sucks, you pretty much suck as an organization.
Right.
I mean, so that's the thing. And I ask dentists and team this all the time. What are you known for?
Right.
What makes you guys great? If I moved to your town, why would I pick you over everybody else? Why would I make the choice to come here? How are you going to connect to me emotionally outside of the fact that you're just on a list somewhere?
I love how you asked that question. And that is truly one of the fundamental things as a dental practice. You guys, is why would anyone pick us? I mean, you did it to get married. You helped the other person answer that question. And it's probably your greatest sales job ever, as it was mine. You know, but the cool part about it is that you're not doing this to manipulate people. Your heart's in the right place. You really want to help people. And so when you give them way too many options, I've seen thousands and thousands of patients that are confused when they come out of the op. Now, talk about the power of threes, because you are brilliant. How does that work? And as I heard you talk about this the first time, I'm like, oh my goodness, that is spot on.
Yeah, the power of threes, it's an amazing thing. You know, early on when I got into this, it goes way back more than a decade. I really wanted to understand how people think. You know, everybody was concentrating on the mouth and the joint, right? That was dental school, here and here. And I got that. And I knew that there were so many people so much better than me than that. And I would learn along the way. And I go, again, I referenced John Coyce, you know, I mean, he taught me how to be a better dentist. You know, but at the same time, I don't care how many Coyce courses you take or Panky or Dawson or whatever. If you don't have people in the chair converting them to understanding and saying yes, it's all irrelevant, right? All that training will do no good. So early, I wanted to understand what makes people tick, what makes people think the way they do, make the decisions they do. So early on, I learned this concept of three. So I'll tell you a little story. So if you look at our Declaration of Independence, it was written by Thomas Jefferson. And back in the day when he wrote it under the concept of life, liberty, and happiness, pursuit of happiness, but life, liberty, and happiness. And what he had learned about when writing that document, he'd actually learned from the Greeks. The Greeks were really comfortable with the concept of threes. They knew your brain did really, really well around threes. There was a term, omne trium perfectum, which means everything that comes in threes is perfect. And so when you look at the Greeks and their understanding of threes, Thomas Jefferson took what he learned from them, and then he wrote this document, Life, Liberty, happiness, three things, not 12, not five. And so when you start explaining that to people, you can say, let me show you where three has been around your entire life. And what people don't realize is how much three has permeated their life. So let me give you a bunch of quick examples. I'll fly through them. And anybody listening to this at a later date would be like, my God, that's really weird. I mean, it's really, really weird when you look at it because no number shows up like this. So right. One of the first books you read when you were a kid, Three Little Pigs. And then right. Some other author at another time writes a story about these musketeers, Three Musketeers. Then another author writes a book about finding a genie in the beach or whatever. Rub it. How many wishes do you get? Turns out you get three. These are all authors through different generations of time. You go to school, you learn games like tic-tac-toe, three in a row. You learn about primary colors. How many are there? Three. Secondary colors, three. You learn about Newton's laws. Newton's laws were split into three, inertia, acceleration, action, reaction. Then when you're a kid, they split the atom. And then when he told you about splitting the atom, protons, neutrons, electrons, three things. Go home tonight when you eat. You're going to have a fork, a knife, and a spoon. Turns out you got three utensils. You can go on and on. You learn to play rock, paper, scissors. That's a three-point game. You learn to learn about different flags around the country. If you look at most flags, they have three dominant colors in them. It's amazing. Right. Go to Egypt. There are three main big pyramids. In the main pyramid, there are three burial chambers. When Christopher Columbus came over, he came on three ships. Remember that from school? Nina, Pina, Santa Maria. So it goes on and on. And then, of course, I mentioned the Greeks. And of course, what do? They invented the Olympics. And it turns out there are three medals on the Olympics. Right? You can go on and on. You know what? There were three Stooges. Remember that?
I do.
There was never a four Stooge.
Well, you know? And I was joking about this. You meet anybody successful and you go, how'd you do this? They never say 22 things. They go, I do three things every day. I do three. Or they do two, but never nine.
Right. Never. Yeah. And people talk about it all the time. And threes come up. If anybody's ever seen my program, they'll see it's constantly three things I found in Entrepreneur Magazine. All the companies out there that have three letters in their logo, you look at it, you're like, oh, UPS, AT&T, ING, IBM, CNN, SAP, BBC. Like you're like, oh yeah, it's just crazy how much it really shows up. So what do I know? When I give somebody options, my entire career has almost been, because I knew it from before, was narrow it down to three. If I told you my phone number right now, I tell you the first three digits, the second three digits, and then the rest, and your brain could compartmentalize that pretty well. If I just rattle off 10 numbers, you'll be like, I didn't catch that at all, right? So people love threes. And so I saw a great stat one time that said, tell somebody three things and ask them 30 days later about those three things they typically remember. If you add a fourth, they'll forget 27% of the information that they heard. So it's an interesting concept. The threes they permeate our lives so much. And so for me, it was important for people to understand with my patients, how can I make their choices easier? Mrs. Jones, let's get down to the three top options for you. After I've told you everything, let me tell you the three that I offer. The first option really is do nothing. That's a viable option. I have no problem with that. If you choose not to do anything, that's your choice. No problem. Now let's talk about the next two, the bridge and then the implant. You narrow things down to three. They go home and they think about, well, I can do nothing. That's very nice of him to mention that. Obviously, he's not trying to just take my money. So he offered me to do nothing. Secondly, it was the bridge. And then he talked to me about the implant. And they'll always remember the implant more because you mentioned it last. Right? So you can see how each one builds on itself. So these concepts of threes are really, really important. I'm going through Entrepreneur Magazine. And I'll tell you, threes pop up all the time. Entrepreneur Magazine showed this great thing. It was three keys to providing customer service. Just like you said, it's never 22 things. So Entrepreneur Magazine says every company should understand that customer service is at the core of every great company. Number two was make sure you have a positive experience. And number three, interesting enough, which was their number one thing, the deeper your understanding of social media, the better. So here's Entrepreneur narrowing your business down to three things. And number one for them was you better understand what the hell is going on out there in social media or you're going to be lost.
Wow.
I'll talk about threes one more time, not to drive you crazy, but I love this concept.
Love it.
I talk about three things here. There are three areas of service in your practice right now that make a huge difference before the doctor ever gets to the patient. And there are three. The one is what's happening when they call, right? So they make a phone call. Right. Who's picking up the phone? I love this question too. I'm kind of giving spoilers for my program, but I always ask, hey, if you're the person that answers the phone every day in your practice, can you raise your hand? And a bunch of hands go up. And I'll say, hey, what's your name? She'll go, Marcy. I go, hey, Marcy, who do you work for? Dr. Jones. I'm like, okay, so Dr. Jones, don't answer this. It's a rhetorical question. But how long did Dr. Jones train Marcy before she was allowed to pick up that phone and represent that practice? I can tell you, if you work for the Ritz, they're going to train you for 2 weeks.
Right.
2 weeks before you can pick up that phone and say, thank you for calling the Naples Ritz. this is so-and-so, right? Mm-hmm. Because there is no picking up the phone and saying, that's not my job. That's not my division. I really don't know. I'm not really sure. That doesn't work in our practice. No way. Our girls know everything about everything. They can answer all the questions when I'm not there. They're trained heavily before I'm going to let you pick up the phone and represent us. So that's the first place, the phone. Second one is first point of contact. Who's that first point of contact that hands them that health history form, or for us, hands them that iPad to fill everything out digitally when they first get there? So first phone call, first point of contact, and then the first person who takes them back and puts them in the chair. Those are three huge areas. The doctor hasn't even gotten there yet. And then he comes walking in. He should be that last, he or she should be that last part, that cherry on the sundae. I want to walk in like I do many times and have people go, wow, can I tell you, your team is awesome. And I'm like, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And that's how it should be. I should never have to really even meet the manager at the Ritz-Carlton, but he should get all the credit. Because the reservation was incredible when I called. The valet was my first point of contact, and the front desk did their part. Three areas: phone call, valet, front desk, up to my room. And I'll write a letter and the manager gets all the credit.
Yeah. This is powerful because you and I are on the same wavelength. You know, if you're a dentist watching this, and the one thing that gives you the opportunity, you know, and power to change those three components, you can transform any practice. I mean, you really could just completely hone them in and nail them down. Now, I'm even going to present a challenge to people watching. You doubt me for a second? Call Ritter and Ramsey's practice. Can I do that?
Yes.
Just call them.
I'm going to do something live right now. I'm going to give you the phone number, right? You should call 561-626-6667. Again, it's 561-626-6667. And why is that? Because the girls that pick up the phone, they just do it differently. I would never tell somebody that we do it better. But if you're still answering the phone, doctor's office, please hold, right? We get enough of that from our physicians and everywhere else. Really, you call our office, what happens? It's an outstanding day at Dr. Ritter and Dr. Ramsey's office. This is Ashley and I can help you, right? Does it sound a little hokey? I don't know. We've done it for over 10 years, but it works really well. People call fired up because of a misunderstanding about a bill or I don't know. And they call and all of a sudden they get this wonderful voice. It's an outstanding day at Dr. Ritter and Dr. Ramsey's office. This is Ashley and I can help you. People are like, oh, well, geez. And I think she gets the question all the time. Is it really an outstanding day over there? And she's like, yeah, because the one thing that we're big on, it's a show, brother. It is a show. Between 8 and 5. It is the Ritter and Ramsey show. You are on stage and everybody's having a good day.
Amen. Well, you're choosing to have those days over and over and over again. And so I'm just going to speak to this too, as a dentist, you know, or if a dentist watching this, they're like, oh, well, it's great for you guys, but I got a person at the front that won't do that. And again, that's a choice. You're choosing to let them be at the front and not, you know,
absolutely,
to hold the practice back. And that's, whether it be conscious or unconscious, it's still a choice, right?
Right. Absolutely. You know, those answers actually, that never works for me, because I always go back to that same thing I said at the beginning. If you were a large company, no one would allow that. If you were a large company, they'd be like, no, no, we're going to put an end to that. A guy or girl right now is driving in their car and they're thinking to themselves, yeah, I have a front desk person. They're just not that good. Can you imagine? Imagine calling somewhere. I'll use Disney. Imagine calling. You want to spend thousands of dollars and go to Disney. And you're calling for the first time. You're from Wisconsin. You've never been to Disney World. And you get some lady on the phone. She's like, Disney. Yeah. I don't know what time the park closed. I'm not sure. Why don't you just come down and we'll work it out? You'd be like, that's not very magical.
No.
Right. Uh-huh. And so the reality is, any company that is succeeding, that's just killing it, they put the things that are important first. And let me tell you, think of all the places that you enjoy going, the restaurants you enjoy going to, the hotels you enjoy going to. It's the customer service elements that are there, the people that represent those companies better than we ever could. If you've ever been to Disney, you will never find an employee not having a good day. Never. So there's a lot to be said. You can't use the excuse, well, you know, she's been here for a long time. I get it. And nobody wants to fire. We don't like hiring, don't like firing, all those things. But the reality is, this is your, here comes the dirty word. You ready?
Ready.
This is your business. Mm. This is your livelihood. You need to have people that represent what you do. There's a customer service element that says, I want everybody in every department to represent what Ritter and Ramsey want. Right. What Ritter Ramsey stands for in this community, what Ritter Ramsey stands for from a national level too. As an example, if we're putting ourselves out there to say we do it at a certain level, then every piece of the pie has to be equally exceptional.
Right, right. Well, and you're choosing again, you know, and I've listened, you have to call their office. It's fantastic. People don't like you. They freaking love you guys, but you've chosen this is how you want to practice.
Right. But you know what? To be fair, let me be fair. Listen, we have a great practice. I'm happy about that. But there's so many people listening to this right now that have great practices. But often I tell people, do you know why you have a great practice? It's really not because of you. Typically, it's not because of you. No. Nobody cares how well you prep or you impress or scan. It's because of that team you've amassed, right? I don't know who owns the Ritz. I've never met the owners. I've never met the owners of the Breakers Hotel down here in Palm Beach. I've never met any of the Hilton gentlemen. I've never met them. I've met the people who represent them. And therefore, I have an opinion of that company. You know, we talk about threes. This goes hand in hand. Disney had a thing. It was the three keys to success. If you're listening to this or writing this down, I'm going to say it the way they say it, and then I'm going to change the words. So three keys to Disney success was take care of our people take care of our customers take care of our profits, right? We've heard this before, right. But I changed it. So I said, take care of our team. Our team takes care of our patients take care of our profits, amen. Right? You've got to be able to take care of your team. Your team represents you when you're not there. You've got to have an amazing team. As soon as your amazing team is there, our part's easy. It's easy to walk in and get all the credit for having this amazing place. If everybody's doing their job, it should be easy for us. No stress.
Yep. Single greatest asset isn't the real estate. It's not the equipment. It's not even your technical skills. It's the people around you.
Right. I wish we had all day to talk about the concepts of threes, man, because threes, it's just, I lose my mind. Everything I do in my life is threes. You know, it's amazing. You know,
well, since you've been teaching me all that, I'm rethinking everything in simplification. You use the word simplification and reducing the complexity. It just makes your life and everybody else's life better. And you're also using less bandwidth when things are just simple. And that's why you are so damn good at what you do. So I want to do this because I have so many topics I want to cover with you in other shows. If somebody wants to get a hold of Dr. Christopher Ramsey, how can I do that other than just call your practice?
I give you the office number, you know, the 561-626-6667. You can also go, there's two websites you can go to. If you want to see our website, which I have to give my partner, Dr. Robert Ritter, a lot of credit for, he helped develop that website. He's a social media whiz. And so a lot of our success in being number one in the Northern Palm Beach area for when you Google dentist Jupiter, Florida, why we come up number one and it doesn't cost us a cent. Rob's behind all that. So if you can go to our website, RitterRamsey.com, Ritter and the word and, Ramsey.com. And then for me personally, you can go to ChristopherRamsey.com. That's what most people do. I've got dentistry articles there, download. I've got a great article that I wrote. It was the fine elements of customer service brought from dining over into dental. It was these five elements of service that I brought over. It's an article I wrote when I was 6 months out of school. There's all kinds of articles there to download. And then obviously that's how people get a hold of me for lecture gigs too. So I don't know. Like I said, I can go on and on. I do this for 5 hours every Friday. You know, I love this concept, but it's important to understand most of our success has got to be understood. It's about the people around us. It's about connecting to people emotionally. It's about getting into the mindset of everybody. There's a great quote I want to leave you with. I know we're winding down, but there's a great book. There's this book called Mindset. And Mindset had a great quote. It was one of my favorites. And it was like, it said, "If it's hard to imagine a more useful ability than understanding other people." And I love that saying because if you don't take the time to start understanding how other people think, how they feel, how they act, how they react, and what's going on with their subconscious, you'll always default to the one thing that you know, which is yourself. Right. So you'll say, they don't think like me, they don't act like me, they don't walk like me, they don't talk like me, so they must be wrong. And nothing could be farther from the truth. So I would implore people, please, please, please take the time, as I have done, I've made a career out of it, but for me, take the time to start saying, you know what, I want to understand more about these humans that I'm working on. It's more than 28 teeth. And if you want to do more dentistry, take the time to understand people a little bit better. You know, it's amazing. You can't guess, by the way, just so you know, you cannot guess with people. Great study done in 2011 said, if you try to read strangers, you're only going to be right 20% out of the time. That means every time they say something, you think, oh, I'll know how they're going to react. I know how they're going to respond. You're going to be right one out of every five times. That's not very good odds.
Wow. Not at all.
Yeah. You want to be careful of that. I think trying to take the time to understand other humans, I think, is extremely important. Once you do, and you start getting into their head a little bit more before their teeth, I think you'll have a much, much better career and look back in 20 years and say, man, that was really fulfilling.
So can you guys see why I love this guy? If I could talk to you every day, I don't think I would need to drink this. I honestly don't. Because I'm
you buy that coffee. There's a reason you buy that coffee.
There is a reason. It's not the best coffee ever. I'm stuck on this logo. I get into an accident most of the time when I see the green logo over there.
You know why? Because you can't walk. You can walk into the Gucci store with that logo, but if you walk in with like a stop and go cup from the mobile gas station, they turn around the Gucci store and say, "No, no, Kirk Barron, get out of here. Get
out. Yeah, that's so true. So, oh man, if you're looking for a great speaker, obviously,
Thank you, Ramsey.
And his partner Ritter, I mean, it's almost the perfect 1-2 combination. Get him on subsequent, weekends or something.
Which we just
months.
Did. We just did in Dallas. We got to give big props out to the boys out in Dallas. We did Ritter Ramsey show. It was unbelievable, man. It was huge. Was it Wallace and those guys out there?
Yeah, Wallace.
And Dr. Sherrod, these two guys are rock stars out in Dallas, and they had us out.
Study club. That's awesome, brother. Stay on for just a second. I want to talk to you. There's so many other things I want to cover. But hey, if you're watching this, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You guys are amazing. I just love the feedback. And if you love what you're seeing right now, please do me a favor, hit the share button and go ahead and fire away some great questions. Gosh, I got some great comments here already.
Yeah, I got one from Anita. You see this? She's so nice. She's like, he's a human dynamo.
He is. He is. I'm not gonna deny that for a second. I mean, you are a human dynamo. Oh, yeah.
Jerry Gottlieb's on. She's awesome. She's an awesome consultant. I love Jerry. She's a wonderful consultant. Yeah.
Crazy blessed to have her on our team. So that's awesome.
Awesome.
So cool, brother. So if you're watching this, thank you again. We really appreciate you guys. Until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. Peace out.